Hey everyone, hope you're keeping well. Welcome to another power-packed episode of the TRX Procast, where we break down the essentials of functional fitness, nutrition, and holistic wellness. Hope you're all keeping well. I'm your host, Nathan Di Rosario, and today's episode is all about optimizing your performance and well-being. We have an exceptional guest joining us, someone whose passion for sports, fitness, and top-tier nutrition has driven the creation of something truly remarkable. I'm pleased to welcome Dave Hamlett, the visionary founder of Lifeline Sports Nutrition, to today's episode. Dave's journey is inspiring, and Lifeline isn't your run-of-the-mill supplement company. It's a brainchild born from a deep love of sports and a desire to bring the best quality supplements to those who share that passion. Lifeline is more than just a brand. It's a testament to dedication, backed by meticulous formulation and medical research. Dave and his team have tirelessly worked in the lab and with their ambassadors to develop something special that prioritizes your health. It really actually tastes pretty good as well. Today, during the episode, we'll be delving into the world of functional hydration, clean energy, and how these factors can amplify your performance in sports and in life, with insights from Dave Hamlett himself. So grab your water bottle and your TRX and get ready to supercharge your fitness journey with Lifelines. Dave, welcome to the show. Enjoy the episode.
First of all, big thanks for having me on. So, Dave Hamlett, turning 40 in 2 days.
Well, happy birthday, mate.
I know, mate. It's going to be good.
Have you got any plans?
Well, you're in that position where you don't ask too many questions because there could be plans, but you're not sure if there is plans. So, I can't answer the question, honestly, but I hope there is plans. Otherwise, other than the gym in the morning, some breakfast with the missus, I'm not sure.
Oh, no. You can't be doing that for your 40th, is it?
I know, mate. I'm sure there's some. In fact, one of my good friends is fighting on. He's got an MMA fight for charity on the Saturday night, so we're definitely doing that. But
great!
Worse for wear and needing some hydration by then, mate.
For sure.
For everyone listening, other than feeling like I'm getting old, I have had quite a varied career. 16, left home with not many qualifications. Big ginger curtains and joined the army at 16. I was about 8 stone. Don't know why I joined. No, I do know why I joined, actually. I taught myself into it. Stood on the station at Shifnal train station with a bag of clothes, and that made my arm go numb. But at that point, I think that's when I realised I'm quite a stubborn individual. Like, I didn't really want to be going, but I kind of talked my way into it for the last 3 years of school. I joined the Royal Engineers, looked at a ball, 7 years, found myself. I was born here, I was made in the army. Bit cheesy, but it certainly, I think everything what I've achieved is off the basis of what that time there taught me and the people, the men and women I was around. Plant operator, mechanic by trade, I threw myself at everything. Climb instructor, kayak instructor, snowboarder for the army. Actually, that's quite a good story for that. I've never really seen real snow, and I think we could say that honestly living in England, or especially in Shrewsbury, it's a little bit on a hill near Wales, maybe once a year. But yeah, army or tri-service ski championships. Can anyone ski? Yeah, complete lie. Just got the hang of just getting on stuff. Got out there half a day of, no, told the gaffer that I couldn't, I'd never even seen snow. A day of getting some lessons and then 12 days of just enjoying myself on the slalom and become third. I guess that was one of the small points in time that I just started to learn to say yes to things and just change my mindset, I guess. Seven years on, so it's 25. I realised I didn't want to be quite as institutionalised as some of the people I was around, but no offence. And also fell out of love with the whole idea of the military.
Right.
So I think, not here, we're seeing things regularly now. I just think surely we should be too mature and knowledgeable as a civilization to be relying on weapons. What does someone do that's probably got quite an aggressive nature, very little qualifications, fell into sales? I actually went back on the machine for a little bit, did Worcester Rugby Club on a digger.
Okay.
Got into telesales. I was actually found myself at the British Safety Council selling health and safety on the phone.
Not good.
Don't even know how. I wouldn't say good. Just don't know how I got the job. I didn't know anything, mate. I remember coming home for a month with Eddie Rowley and list a few of these and just writing a lot of things like HR manager, human resources.
Oh, okay.
Was that people like, are we farming people or I don't really,
Was it just a case of you weren't really sure what to do? You were just trialing little things and see if something sticks?
That's it, mate. I just jumped in. I knew sales was, I knew I wanted to be wealthy. And I say that in a broad sense of financially free. As I learned growing up with my mum in a council house that she did more than she could with what she had, but we weren't entitled or anything. I just guess I learned quite quickly when you've got something you can't afford to buy again, you never really enjoy it. And I think that's the premise of where some of my ambition to become financially secure. And then also I wanted to retire my mum. I've been close to it once, gone to that point before. But so sales was linked to income. Quite aware. I didn't know what I was doing. Whilst you could throw me back into most of the environments, I just thought in the normal world, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
So 4 years there or 3 years there. And then I quickly understood FMCG. So fast moving consumable goods was kind of the space I wanted to be in. Account management felt good. As you could probably tell, you've met me quite a bit. I like to meet people. I can talk.
Yeah.
For fun, mate. Do you know what I mean? That's what I enjoy. That's where I get my energy from. And sure enough, if we fast forward to, I was 31. I'd been at Gatorade, won Brand Ambassador of the Year. Britvic, found my first account manager job and hated it. Corporate world was just, as I've moved away from it, is a challenging place for someone like me to be. Luckily enough, I got headhunted directly for Monster Energy. Ran out of home, which is kind of half of the business, a very crude way to describe it, for 5 years.
Yeah.
I had one very informal interview and then found myself on the leadership team for GB and Ireland as commercial director. Launched a few, spoke about it. Most listeners would have come across it. Rain, Total Body Fuel, this new era of performance energy, moving away from basic energy drinks. I loved it. Like that brand, that business, the people I was around, feel very blessed.
Yeah.
You'd have told me 10 years after leaving the army with no qualifications, I'd be sitting on the board of, or the leadership team of one of the fastest growing brands on the planet, I'd have laughed you out the door.
For sure. But that's down to your hard work and, like you say, the open mindedness to learn and to adapt. And you add skills, like you've said, you're very good at networking, and that's from personal experience. But then it's the open mind to not fake it till you make it, but just be open to learn on the job in a lot of ways and adapt quite quickly, which is a testament to where you are today, mate.
Fake it to make it, mate. I still think we're doing it, aren't we?
Yeah, true. I'll get found out eventually.
Mate, no, I agree. And look, thank you for the kind words. And it's this that's kind of bring me back and go full circle from that 10-year stint. And I set myself three goals. One was either to earn 100 grand in a year, or even if I fluked it, and it was only 50% a fluke, I'd still be twice above the national average of the income where I live here in Shrewsbury, 26, yeah. Be at 50. Be a director of my own business or be a director of someone else's large business. And I'd also, in secret, I can say it now, I'd been working on a business that returned me and an old friend from school. We're no longer friends now. That's another story of a beer. More podcasts I do, it's coming out. But we, 3 years, we shook hands. He'd already started a terrible looking, car delivering Chinese food, and went on his stag do, and I basically built the business and the brand around him in secret while I was still at Monster. We took that business from two of us. He had a 15 grand car loan that he sold the car and didn't pay that back until a later date, and used that to fund us. And within 3 years, we took it from zero to a pre-raise valuation of nearly 10 million quid. Wow. 336 staff to a degree, gig economy drivers. We had 60 cars. We were the first rural delivery model. I was essentially the person that came up with non-food delivery as well. Sounds crazy. But if you think a co-op yeah. convenience times, I remember being at Monster as well. I was in Manchester for a meeting, and on my lunchtime, popped into co-op's head office and found the one person at the time that would listen to it. I think it's like a director, my senior IT manager, because this didn't exist at the time.
Mm.
And long story short, delivery, much bigger beast than they were afloat at the time. Not long after, we didn't lose the opportunity completely. They heard me, they liked the idea of it. It was through a time when Just Eat were acquiring everything and anyone. Uber had landed. We ended up as a visible delivery partner for co-op, so we're doing about 500,000 deliveries a year. This was all in secret. I left when we raised money. We raised $1 million in 6 weeks. Really exciting, kind of nice place to get off your career at Monster, of kind of the height of where I wanted to be. But people ask me if I go back. I'm unemployable now. Really am.
You've gone into that self-employed and it's got your own destiny, I suppose, in a way. You can do what you want when you want and guard your business how you want. You couldn't go back to that being employed.
If I had to, I could, but it takes some sort of... I love the TRX culture, mate. I really do. It reminds me a lot of the culture, funnily enough, as well, American brands. Randy, meeting Jack. Just me. I just felt I left there with a whole new bunch of mates. In fact, since we've left there, been down to see Bobby, Marv, I've known for years. I wouldn't say... I'm not going to be quite... I'll never say never, even. But it would take a fairly forward-thinking, progressive business that's... the culture is very, very clear, I guess. What Randy and you guys have done, and Jack and everyone, is you can see it's a massive community. It got lost through that period of him stepping away and things, but you can see you guys are all on it. So if I was going to go back to something, it'd have to be very much like the thing you're in, mate. But I need to be in a position of seniority to offer change. It's something I drive a lot of reward from.
Yeah. No, that's...
In a big way. So... We were doing the entrepreneur thing. I won Entrepreneur of the Year at the end of 21 off the back of being voted out of my own business. It's probably the first that I've really admitted it. But she was worried in the back of my head for the last 18 months, 2 years, if it was a fluke, but it wasn't. I've got four businesses at the moment. One of them's I've turned around. It was for my own benefit. I thought, if you're an entrepreneur, how can you be when you haven't really said all of the business is failing and done that? That's one of my own challenges, I guess, some of the pressure I put on myself. But I'm in a positive place now. And here we are. Lifelines is 2 years old. That's where the hydration thing come from. That's an itch I wanted to scratch for years. Being in the energy category, joined Monster on the turn. And just before I left, we were on the heels of taking Red Bull over for category leadership, which is a cool journey to have been part of. And I've just thought, right, I'm going to create my own now. This whole functional hydration piece, which you've had the luxury of being around and firsthand tasting it and stuff, it's something I've been kind of probably working to for over 10 years.
Which is great. And for the people that don't know, we'll dive into foundational hydration and the benefits and so on and so forth. But can you just give an overview of what Lifeline is and what products that you're offering to consumers these days?
So Lifelines was raw. I mean, we've got behind me and I'm covered in it right now. What is it? It's a desire for me to come to them to create a category, I guess, that I didn't think existed. Hydration's always been quite important to me. Because I've got older, and I still train to my stay race, motocross, climb, all the rest of it. But that longevity piece, the nice thing about, I remember buying a T-Rex when I was in the military. The whole functional fitness piece, longevity, is probably becoming more and more important to me. You're in a business that screams this. A lot of the things you do is talking about the world shifting a bit from short-term stuff into, well, how is this going to impact me in 40 years? And I've always believed hydration's key. Come on from the details. Then I look at the category through my tenure at Monster. We're always 3-4 years behind the States and it's exploding. That's why hydration was important for me personally. How we then move into the business is about, what am I going to call this thing? I want to create a hydration drink. And most normal words are gone or used. And as I found, Lifeline. I mean, I'm still of the era when, remember someone said, oh, a bit tired, Chuck's a Lifeline. That's where it really come from. Tried to trademark it, failed. Healthcare business or a pharmaceutical business in London's got it. I thought, as I am, I'm a bit dyslexic anyway, so I thought I'm just going to spell it wrong. for anyone watching, I literally have spelt it wrong. And it's turned into Lifeline, so Lyfelinez. And sure enough, it looks quite cool. I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. Those out there that are in this space, there's some hints of other brands. There's a brand I really, really admire and follow in the US that I wouldn't take any of them, but people watching this, if they're into this, much to guess where it's come from. And I got some of the starting point for it. And then I thought, right, like anything I do, if you're going to do something, I don't like imitating to a huge extent. How do I bring value? I've learned enough now in 15 years in the corporate space. And for me, it was functional hydration. What do we mean by that? And this is where it started. I was having on a daily basis some electrolytes, multivitamin, a Barocca. Everyone loves a Barocca.
Yeah.
Some adaptogens, so ashwagandha, rhodiola rose, all of these things in the world at the moment, stress, anxiety, depression, it's all just getting more and more of an issue. And I'm leaning more and more into One, it's the stresses we've got on our life. Two, it's what we're in us. It is ironic. This come onto the diabetes thing, but Alzheimer's is now diabetes type 3. It's been a fundamental shift in the last 25 years on a global scale, processed foods and foods that are lacking micronutrients and things. I was having those on a daily basis and went, I'm lazy. Surely there's got to be something I can put in one drink, and voila, that's where Hydro-G come from. Cherries and berries flavour.
Very 30, nice.
30 servings. And it's just the epitome of going from right electrolytes, which is for me hydration, into all the other bits and pieces. That's where it started. Hydration, functional hydration was my anchor. It's a hero product. It then led me on to, we've got nearly 18 other products, mate, and we've had this chat live in the background. I always work 2 or 3 years ahead of myself in my own mind. I drive myself crazy. We've now got a clean energy drink. Essentially, that was me looking into that. Energy drink category. And when I say that to anyone listening, I say that I want to offer some understanding, caffeine-based energy drink stimulants, and then you've got carbohydrate-based sports drinks. For me, caffeine, I don't demonize it. I enjoy coffee. There's some great cognitive benefits with it. Heart health, there's a lot of stuff out there to suggest. But for me, it didn't fit with the brand, and I kind of wanted to stay with the sports and physical stuff, just stop trying to do things. And we looked at glucose. We looked at all the greats, Gatorade, the Powerades of the world, all very well. Lucozade done great jobs, but I just felt, well, what else could we do here? And it's glucose for me. We'll come on to, I'm sure, your diabetes partnership we have. But as much as you're trying to reinvent the wheel, you don't want to do too much. I still wanted to bring an energy drink of sort. Let's use the word clean energy. Glucose for me is the only sort of negative in there. I'm not saying it's bad. It's bad in its in huge quantities and being abused, as most things are. But for me, if we could replace that with what I would call a low glycemic index energy source, a slow release through the day, where you don't get the normal crash that we generally feel from glucose, and glucose rots your teeth. In a world where primes come out of nowhere, which I'm really happy about, I know people might hear why, but it's shone a light on this category for a start. And it's not a terrible product, it's not hydration. Lacking electrolytes for a start. Potassium contents on the high end, which makes no sense, but they're leaning into coconut water. James Smith has just done a banging job of...
Oh, he has, hasn't he? I've just seen that being released, right?
Well, he had a nice little piece a few weeks ago about the comparisons with these, but what him and Chris Willis done, I like both of them. I tried to reach out to both of them before I got wind of them doing this. So, but to see what they've come to the market with is kind of where I'm leaning into. So you know, the new tonic piece is very good. They're looking at more, again, probably the things that drive me. Productivity, cognitive function, health. Options that move us into being a bit more optimal in our day. We've got adaptogens in Hydro-G, so you talk about the functional element of that. That's looking at causal management tools that can help reduce stress. My products become something that, whether you're at work, rest, or play, I think that was the old Mars bar advert, wasn't it?
It was.
Stolen that. I'm bringing that back to life. But, I mean, that's for me. We're not here, and I quite like the way, since working with you guys, I always think sport has its very extreme end to it. We watch it. The gym generally sees all. I've been big in my time and ripped and all the rest of it. But it's very alienating. I was a PT for a long time. You've tried to create. What can we create that is appealing to the masses? That's going to have some positive change. And I think that offering things that both, you know, get people in a routine, start your day with some hydration. If in there you've got some bits that's going to help you manage the stress through the day. On Rodeo de Rosa, it leans into helping with cognitive function, clarity, focus, decision making. So you and I now, I've just literally had mine before.
I've got some as well.
It just helps you stay a bit more clearer, right?
It just keeps the focus, and without quitting too much, I wouldn't say it's demonized, but I agree with what you're saying in terms of that. From an energy drink point of view, from what I see, it's either people that would be in the gym on a regular basis or an athlete or even gamers that would spend hours playing computer games and Monster would be the thing. So it was kind of, well, if you're not doing any of that, why would I need to take an energy drink with that much stuff in there? And that's kind of I say, probably demonize is not the right word, but for a general consumer that wants something, they don't necessarily look at those kind of drinks because they're either not training regularly or they're not into gaming or anything like that.
Mate, you've used the word, it does demonize it, because I always try to think, get into the your head of your consumer. So I would completely agree. It alienates them from that specific tool. Let's look at it like a tool. Because let's be honest, isn't it? A Monster drink's no different really to a cup of coffee. It's just old, a bit fizzy in a slightly different manner, but essentially looking for the caffeine. So you're right, mate. And it's why I've tried to do some of this. It's these things now, really grateful together, have this conversation. I mean, the feedback we had from being at the summit with you guys has been insane. For me, the female audience is as important as the male. We want to be a gender neutral brand. If anyone goes back to our Instagram, looks at some of the first posts, it's always one of them. It was amazing. It was only 18 months ago. And then we look what we're doing now. And she sat last night reflecting, thinking, oh, those early posts make me feel a little bit, oh, this is a little, but it's not gender neutral. It's our marketing manager, Lily, big shout out to her. Jake and I have put in, Jake's got pretty much heavily dominant female base in the office. So it's really good because there's sort of three of us involved that are all male that are kind of trying to steer the ship, make the plans. And it's nice that we've got a female team in the background who are all really creative that can point us in the right direction. Because as much as we try to have an open mind, we do lean into a certain way because of men. But I mean, the feedback from the female audience within from the summit, mate, it's been amazing. We've created, which we now know, and I can speak with confidence, two products, four flavors that all taste absolutely banging. I mean, just watching people's reaction, probably you're one of them, and you think, oh, I'm going to be drinking gaps one day. It's a root of a plant. What? Oh, it all sounds all herbal and stuff. To then go, oh, this is actually really good. And there's not many calories in it. No, not really.
That's really good. The flavors are really good. Lot, all of them. As you mentioned, we had the opportunity at our TRX summit with a lot of people from different countries getting to sample your products. So we're grateful for you to be there. But the feedback that we were getting, either, it was just, these are brilliant. You should get Lifelines there more often. And so you're definitely onto something, and you've definitely created a really good product. And the proof's in the pudding by the feedback that you've been getting, which is fantastic for you and the team.
It means a lot, mate. It means a lot. And so I guess now we're just in the next phase for investment, which is good.
Yeah.
We've got 2 years where we've just wanted to probably create a brand that's evolved probably into this point. It's probably the most settled it's been the last 2 months. We've got a look and a feel and some new products and things in the background that come into the fore, some great projects. Our partnership with, we're working together with you guys, should I say, is going to grow. So we've got some things coming. We've got some great ties into grassroots football. And I guess some of the conversation you and I had at the summit where the education's important is, I put together for a football coaches conference, a football coaches conference at the Shrewsbury Football Club. Just think it's 7 or 8 slides, I think, that with you. But
yeah, you did.
Yeah, just for me, I hear hydration and I just think it can be so overlooked and people don't get it. So they're just going to nail water all day. And it's, well, that's kind of half of the challenge. So I spent some time there, just top line, what's hydration mean, starts there. Anyone that's listening, head over to the website. You'll see things now. We've got sweat rate calculator, urine charts. I mean, people always talk about, how do I know? It's this easy. Get up in the morning, you all disappear to the bathroom to get a shower, brush your teeth, go to the toilet. Just have a quick look in the toilet. If it's looking like syrup, I'd suggest you go and nail and get some fluids in you. If it's really clear, you're probably too much on the other end. So we're supporting those. For those people probably that are in the community here, that exercise a lot. I mean, I've never seen, and I don't think, in fact, last time I've seen that much exercise, mate, in 2 days was when I was in basic training and stuff going on at the summit.
Yeah.
So for the TRX audience watching, sweat rate calculator is always good. It's an easy one to do. For any of the coaches that are listening to this, get over and use the calculator with any of your clients. It's also a good one to at least get an understanding. It's really easy to do. So we're just trying to position ourselves as a bit of an educational hub, I guess. Not looking to preach. There's quite a few brands out there that are on the extreme end of this again. We like to consider that the dosages in both drinks are not on a ridiculous end. Again, it's probably where the brand's positioned, but at an efficacious level that they're beneficial, but they're not mean that you can't drink them more than once a day. I don't know what your view on this. I think the supplement industry, to a point, has got It's very prescriptive. Take this with this once a day. It's not
I
meant
agree.
To.
I agree. It feels like, and that's probably my background and probably lack of knowledge within hydration as a whole. It was, you take this before training and then you'll take something else after training. And then you might have this before you go to bed, or you'll have this when you first wake up, more than there wasn't a drink at the time where it was just, yeah, just don't overuse it, but take it whenever you want, because it will help you throughout the day whenever you're having a bit of a slump or lack of focus, or you just need that little bit of energy boost. There wasn't anything like that when I was a PT anyway.
Same. Or if my protein would have been the first ones, when we started making your own capsules. And
that's true. It could be
probably
them,
could have, but none of it tasted very good. So what we've tried to do is just, and I also believe that we should all be trying to have a balanced diet. So the things we make are there for me to complement it. So we, and some brands, and a couple of them were there, but you look at the dosage and they are per serving amazing. But it's like, well, I've replaced drinking squash and sugary drinks and soda for drinking my own products, which offer a full spectrum of benefits that are outside. I mean, if we look, take Hydro-G, we've got some acai berry in there. We've got taurine, which is central nervous system repair. We've got D-ribose. All of these are synergistic or complementative of the ATP process and the body's core process of how we make energy.
Yeah.
So again, with the cognitive support, the clarity of focus, it's got vitamins and minerals, it's got full spectrum of electrolytes. I mean, the shocking thing I've started to find out is the amount of brands out there that are not clear on dosages and that are hiding, even in electrolyte blends, behind the word proprietary blend. It's just, as a brand owner and someone in the space, I find that frustrating. I thought that only existed in protein. Are you familiar with that term?
A little bit. Again, it's not something that we, because we're more in the S&C and movement more than that side of it. So I'm aware of it, again, but probably similar to most people, just not clued up in exactly what that means and how it works and stuff like that.
It's shocking. So the term is derived, I found, because it was in protein. So with by quoting proprietary blend, it removes the need to tell you exactly how much of what is in it. So you could literally have, like, it'll give you a list, but you could have trace elements of said stuff. So long story short, I'm just going to sprinkle a bit of everything in here. It's not really going to do much.
Right. Okay.
It's such a shocking way to do it. So we try, we will continue to be, it's a mandate. The brands always try and operate on, well-dosed panels that are as efficacious as possible, but while still applicable to everyday life.
And are you continuously looking to, like, research? Because again, from our experience in the functional training space, there's always new research coming out and new ways to do things. Is that something that you facilitate and make sure it's part of the business to not, like, sit down and stop? You're continuing to research because there may be something new that come out that could progress your products even further.
100%. At the moment, if I could, that Newtonic brand we've just spoke about with James and Chris, who I really respect, people I've watched for years, like, we've already got something that's not far designed. It's just, I'm just, at the moment, one, we're not quite as wealthy as those individuals right now with the platform, which is huge. But I mean, we will consistently try to stay educated. I mean, this is a passion point for mine. We've got Big Steve Orton, if you're familiar with Steve. Those in the industry will have heard of him. If you didn't, Body Power, him and his brother, behind Body Power back in the day. So the reason I brought Steve in is because, one, very good old friend, worked with him for a few years, never got to work with him very closely. So now it's quite nice, but he's a consummate professional, he's in the mix. Jake, who's my other business partner, is equally into health, well-being, longevity, trained for many years with swimmers of similar age. Bit of a journeyman boxer. So again, found a discipline of sport that's, like, quite high level, requires on top of stuff. So, and both of us have got, this biohacking is probably a better term for where we're going. I quite like that biohacking scene. Again, we're back to just 40 in a couple of days, I've said a few times. And I'm, for the first time in my life, if I'm going to be interested in or be running a business, they need links to offering some value. So I took over the leading eco or the country's only glueless toilet roll. So it's an eco-friendly toilet roll, the nature of trying to provide a real-time solution to a massive problem that microplastic, not even talking about yet. And then you look at this brand, feel we can offer some real value.
That's great.
Probably brings on to the diabetic stuff. I know you and I have spoke about it. We've got a partnership with...
Talk about the partnership and we can go into some education if that helps the listeners in terms of how your products can help people with diabetes. If you wouldn't mention the... the partnership and then we can go into a little bit more detail.
So the DSO, those who've not heard of them, the Diabetic Safety Organisation. I worked with Kate Walker, the founder, when I was actually trying to sell health and safety on the phone. So that's 15, 16 years ago in Birmingham. She'd started the organisation with a view of literally trying to drive awareness. And it might sound daft in light of Diabetes UK being around, but if I was to tell you one in 10 people in the workplace will have a hypo, certainly raise my eyebrows. 700 odd people a day are diagnosed with diabetes right now.
Wow.
Getting bigger. We've got a million people in the country on insulin. So for me, when I heard the numbers, it's a big issue. And I've been in the construction space, never been talked about. And when you start to look at some of the problems you can have that are linked to diabetes, like losing toes, men's reproductive tackle doesn't work and things, which is people kind of have a bit of a jest at, but it's true. Lose your sight. There's all sorts of issues with this. And it all links back to what we're eating, I think, as a society, a global society. So kind of when I realised what she was doing, dug in. So Kate's put together a charter that's been supported by government. She's currently got some fantastic organisations that she's talked to that are signing up or signed up. She's got the ear of the DVLA right now and the road haulage company. So for me, I'm used to being an HGV driver as well. But how many out-of-shape lorry drivers do we have? How many of those guys that are driving a 44-ton missile could be struggling with type 1 or type 2? Now, for me, type 1, for those who don't know, is genetic. He's a complete inability for your body to manage insulin. So they can go into what's called a hypo. For those who are unaware, it's literally like tank, fall asleep, go into a coma and death.
Okay.
And it's a real thing. So when we talk about the hypo stat, 1 in 10 in the workplace is the number right now. So why aren't there any provisions in the workplace? So we have defibrillators for people that need a cardiac arrest. We have first aid kits where you can cut yourself, nothing for that. So it's all around championing that position, which is great. And then we look at the hypo kit. So the hypo kit currently is not found anywhere in the workplace. I think it's broadly spread across the NHS. When I saw it, it's a huge orange box. It looks like a Makita drill should be in it in your bike from B&Q. Oh, okay. And it's littered with sugar, glucose gels, glucose shots, glucose tablets, and a book. Well, where's what's really happening? So we've just partnered with a view that will help them manufacture the products to go in these hypo kits. We've kind of reinvented what that hypo kit looks like, which has been quite exciting. Looking to work with a well-known college, shall we say, or university in London. We're trying to look to work with to try and get some of these trials away. But that's quite exciting because it's just led me down a whole garden path of like, right, what does life look like for diabetic type 2s as a PT and UPT majors?
Yeah.
With exercise and health, you know, a healthy diet, it can be, you can leave that as type 2 behind.
100%.
So the partnership's great for us. Then it's kind of led me into a place where we've got products. So our hydro fuel, which is this, so real exciting looking colour. It comes in two flavours. We've got lemon sherbet candy, passion punch. Again, one with the flavours that you find in the energy drink world. But essentially, all we've done is taken the glucose out of this and replace it with palatinose. So we can put some charts up, I guess, after, but we've got it on the label. It just walks through. Palatinose is a low glycemic index carbohydrate.
Okay.
So whereas glucose, it has a purpose. It's a fast-acting carbohydrate. So if you want that hit of energy immediately, you know, at the end of a race or something, great. But for day-to-day, like most of us do, there's no need for these huge insulin spikes that are offered by these energy. So you have no crash for this. Predominantly, glucose can give everyone a bit of a crash. So you go below baseline is what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Palatinose doesn't. So a glucose for me, logically, is a minefield for someone with diabetes. So for us then to find we've got a product that has been well received by the diabetic community because it's easier for them to manage their blood glucose levels. Low GI just means they've got a much stable, slow release for the carbohydrate in a product that tastes great and is full of loads of other benefits.
Okay, that's great.
So that's probably where it started. And put simply, if a diabetic is hydrated, it increases their blood volume.
Okay.
So they struggle, and I'm not a doctor, by the way, but I used to research these things, is a diabetic will have significant stores of blood glucose in the blood. So that's the issue. So if you increase blood volume, you dilute the consistency or the levels of blood glucose in the blood. So the fundamental benefit they get is the fact that they are hopefully negating, if that's the right word, the impact of blood glucose levels, because it becomes reduced through the improvement of blood volume by being hydrated.
And has hydration always been an important part of people with diabetes, their routine, their lifestyle? Because a lot of people talk, and maybe it's just in my background, they talk about regular exercise and a healthy diet. And when we look at diet, it's kind of the food that you're eating. No one's really mentioned hydration. Have you found that it's always been there, but just not enough people are talking about it? Or is it something now that has been researched over the last few years and now is getting more important, the actual what you're drinking throughout the day and how you're drinking?
I'd say until this point of working with the DSO, I had the same view as you.
Yeah.
Logically, I've understood hydration for years, and you think I've never just seen it as pragmatic as that. So in terms of the studies and stuff, I just think from the diabetics we have that take the product, I get direct messages from diabetics saying it's good that they found something that tastes great, that they can drink regularly, that's not going to cause them. So for example, Hydro G's got 10 calories in it, and it's packed loads of goodness.
Right.
So they can, and that's 10 calories. You metabolize that by digesting it. So from an instance of finding, and you're back to this, mate, the simple question was, it's quite hard to find something you can have on the go that is going to deliver some real value and health. Like all the vitamin waters right now, nominal levels of vitamins. Might as well just get a flavored water. It's less about what I know about research and the studies. It's more around the feedback I'm getting. I'm unclear at this point how the diabetic community feels en masse, because we're a fairly new brand. So I'd be wrong of me to comment, but I just know we've had some fantastic feedback from the diabetics that are using it and found us to date. And our partnership with DSO is only going to grow and get bigger.
And congratulations to you on the partnership. It's well worth doing and helping people with diabetes. Because based on what you've mentioned now on the conversations that we're having, it was people with diabetes, they probably didn't necessarily know where to go for hydration, or actually there wasn't many choices. You're either, like you're saying, you're getting your multivitamin drinks, which have next to no multivitamins in, or you're drinking water, or you've just got the same drinks that everyone that doesn't have diabetes have, like your fruit drinks and stuff like that. So it is down to the education. And we refer back to the education all the time of raising as much awareness as you can. And now with the DSO, I think that's going to happen to have people with diabetes make the right choice in terms of their exercise, nutrition, and then also now their hydration with you guys, which is great.
Definitely. And you're back to this piece, functional hydration I don't think in the mainstream, well, I know it didn't because I read a lot of the data at Nielsen Cantor level within office, part of my job to study trends and stuff of what sits on a shelf in a shop. Functional hydration is this bit of I've basically put a Barocca, a multivit, electrolytes, adaptogens all in one drink just because I wanted it. So you've got something you can go to drive real value. And again, is this more and more, is this whole productivity piece, cognitive function, clarity of thought, looking after this. The way we function, I think the world, on my Instagram now, I see it, and that's the only lens we have on a macro scale, I guess, is the world is what's our social media platform telling us. But
yeah,
this whole grind on 6-4 hours sleep stuff, I always said it was rubbish. I'd never got it. Now we know the research against it is horrendous. Couple of time nights a week where you're getting like half the reduction in sleep, and it's the way your brain, the most intelligent thing that you have, resets itself, and people slept in that. And you fill it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming out now about Alzheimer's is now type 3 diabetes, just how easy carbohydrates can permeate the blood-brain barrier. And then you look at what happened 20 years ago. They removed fat out of food and demonized fat for years. Now we're all eating avocados and normal butter and ditched the neoplastic stuff because the food industry demanded it, because we all know you take fat out of food and it tastes horrendous. So what do you do? Fill it with sugar and processed carbs. And now, 20, 25 years on, got this raise in everyone's diabetes is going through the roof. Everyone's ill because they're micronutrient deficient.
It's all that, like you said, that ultra-processed food, right? Which is a totally different conversation, but that is for people that are, we're all going through a cost of living crisis, and the cheaper options these days seem to be the ultra-processed food more than your naturals that we're talking about, which is a massive problem. But it's something that I feel is leading, and it's not necessarily because not enough people are moving. And you're right, there isn't enough people moving on a regular basis, and the research proves that. But fundamentally, it's down to actually what people are putting in their mouths, and that could be hydration, but it also could be the ultra-processed food that we're talking about as well.
Huge. A massive. You're fasting. Look at fasting these days. There's two ironic things here, and you get this, mate. Cold therapy, cold water therapy. I had to make a little joke. I'm quite a vocal person anyway. I was in the military. We do river crossings daily and go to sleep soaked in my boots and in a wet goss bag and wake up dry, right? And then, but being young, mum went, "Don't go out, you'll catch a cold." Everyone's jumping in ice baths now, realizing the benefits of like what it does for the body. It is healthy. Fasting, 2 to 3 day fast, they're talking about resetting the body, getting rid of these dead cells. That brings me on to probably one of the biggest things. We put Senactive in our hydrofuel.
Right.
That's through the autophagy process, which is the removal of the dead cells, these zombie cells that people are being quoted. Again, so kind of overlooked and probably put it on the label, so we can't just let's run. But there's some real thought going into what we're trying to do, and probably take, I guess, walk through the high street, look at Holland & Barrett. Everyone knows you go there and get some really cool stuff that no one really knows what it does, because they're not allowed to make claims, because the pharmaceutical industry's tied the hell up out of them, because there's plants that are as potent and useful as things that they're making, but they don't make them as much money. To go around that with my knowledge and the team, and we're trying to pull things into things that can be consumed on the go every day that are not moving into the extremes of veganism, or just we're trying for this everyday consumer that just wants to know, right, where could I go with something that's going to help me, I can grab quickly, and there's probably going to have a few other cool bits and nothing else does. That's where I see our brand moving to.
Right, okay. Okay.
In a nutshell,
which is really good. Is there, based on your experience on hydration now, just overall, is there an optimal way to keep hydrated, in your opinion? I mean, people just a lot of the time, and include me, probably hydration for me is probably my worst sort of things in terms of a drink when I'm thirsty. What is the optimal hydration levels, and what should be people doing on a regular basis?
So optimally hydrated. So how can you describe? So first of all, understanding your sweat rates. By the way, are those my notifications coming up on your screen?
No, you're all good. People that see the video won't do it. They won't see it.
So optimal hydration. Certainly, I would suggest that feeling of thirsty, you're too late. It starts every day and in the morning, if you want to talk about like protocols for optimally staying hydrated. So first thing you do in the morning, I'd get up and disappear to the bathroom, take a look at whatever's in the bottom of the bowl, color. We've got urine charts that we can flick up that give you an idea. Drink, try and get a pint of fluids down you. One thing it will do, if you're looking to lose weight, it being hydrated will kickstart the fat loss process. There's loads of science behind that. So if you're dehydrated and you're wanting to lose weight at the moment, you're already putting yourself at a disadvantage. I guarantee you, most people who don't do this on a regular basis, you probably won't want to eat anything for the next hour or two anyway. So rather than waking up feeling hungry, your body's normally waking up dehydrated, and it's very clever at drawing liquid moisture from food. So in terms of a protocol, I would do that. Through the day, it's being aware of your environment. So things like your age, sex, level of fitness will all play a massive part, and your environment. So where are you today? Are you on holiday in a fairly humid, hot environment? Fine. Are you sitting in the office? Is it quite cold? What have you done the night before? Have you trained quite hard? All these different inputs are going to should give you a feeling of what you need to do the following day. I used to PT people with headaches. They'd rather take painkillers than drink more. Used to blow my mind. This is just general stuff. The other benefits of this as well is sleep. Your skin's going to look a lot better. Your hair's going to grow a lot better. The upsides of being hydrated are just huge. So a simple urine chart and just making it a daily protocol. So you can probably look, if you're a small individual, 2 to 3 liters a day. If you're on the larger side, 3 to 4. Yes, if you're not very good at being hydrated regularly, you're going to be going to the toilet a lot more. That's how
yeah.
They are going to be going to the toilet a lot. Like anything, your bladder's going to get used to just like
it. So it does adapt, because that's one of the misconceptions I get when people ask me. And because I generally just say, look, you've got to keep hydrated. I don't go into any detail because I'm not an expert in it. So I don't want to say some stuff that I shouldn't be saying, but it's generally thinking like, oh, you just keep hydrated. And everyone tells me, but I keep going to the toilet a lot, so I'm not going to do that as much. So the body does eventually adapt to that. And that
100%. So the other thing to consider, and this is where hydration for me takes a bit of a turn. So there's a process called osmosis that happens. So that's the bit where electrolytes are fundamentally key for. So to say you're hydrated just from water is... it's kind of, I get it, but then you go past it. And it's the position of being hydrated is allowing your body to have optimal levels of fluid in so it can perform its daily task unhindered. So things like no dry lips, no headache, no cramp, no soreness, your joints are tingling. The ironic thing is, if I go out on a Friday night and drink loads, by Saturday evening, I'm probably not drunk enough and my joints hurt.
Yeah.
And fundamentally just dried my body out. So we have to think, we're like, what's the old stat? 70% water. So it's the osmosis process, and the electrolytes are the babysitters. They're the enablers of the process of putting water in and out of cells. So this whole notion that you're hydrated, it's like at a cellular level, how full are those cells in your entire body? Of course, it's going to be a process. If you've not any electrolytes and you're just pumping water in you, it's not going to do anything with it. So the water's not going to go in and out of a cell. So, of course, it's going to come straight back out. So there's a lot of stuff going on, I guess, without trying to bore everyone to death that's listening with too much science. But there's considerations that as long as you're drinking a well-balanced electrolyte formula,
yeah,
you're consuming, your body will hold this water until it gets to the point where it probably starts getting rid of it.
And I'm assuming it depends on, like you've said, like your lifestyle, but that comes to like the amount that you're moving, not just generally exercise, but what you're moving through the day. If you've got more sedentary lifestyle, is it tends to be, doesn't really matter what you put in your body from a hydration point of view, unless you're using it, you're going to lose it in a way, and you'll keep going to the toilet. Is there a theory behind that, or is that not necessarily the case, whether you're moving or not?
I would say it's going to improve it. I mean, muscle mass is a big indicator of sweat rates. The more muscle, you know what I mean? You're more metabolic. Yeah. You go through food. So I'd say the way you're built is important. Not moving, of course, you're going to require less and less, but it's still going to affect the way you feel.
Yeah.
At a very base rate. We've got it. When you consider that being hydrated will enable and improve the fat loss process, there's a level of just, this is for the people every day. If you are sedentary, fine, but just have an appreciation for, just because you are doesn't mean you don't need as much, or you don't need to pay attention, or the right quality of hydration. And it's that, back to that mix of electrolytes and water. Electrolyte, it's even in the name, electric. Neurotransmitters, central nervous system, it fires on small sensors of current. So there's a lot of things that it helps that are probably overlooked.
I agree, because again, going back to the misconceptions, people that have heard of electrolytes before in passing may refer to that of in your sports energy drinks, and you only do that when you're training, right?
A marathon, yeah.
And not actually, it's part of a daily lifestyle, whether you're sedentary, and you know, I've got more opinions on that, or whether you're moving regularly, it should be part of your hydration routine, so to speak.
100%. Even just from better quality sleep, your skin's going to look a lot better. There's so many more things before you get to the physical performance element. And this is kind of what we're trying to do as a brand. Our products operate well at the high end. I know they do. I still train twice a day. I've raced motocross with them in championship last year. They've all been tested rigorously with boxers, downhill mountain bikers, and all of which you can see invisible on the website. But with a hint and an application that had been made for everyday use.
Right.
And this will be leaning into. And again, there's some education blogs on the website people can read. We've got some FAQs on there all around hydration.
Brilliant.
We mentioned the sweat out with the urine stuff. There'll be more and stuff going out with people's orders. We will be starting our own podcast soon. So we're just sorting out
Right.
the environment for that up in Jake's office up in Wakefield. So we certainly want to probably lean into the same sort of thing you do. Education and inspiration are one of the core pillars of the business, something we mandated quite early.
That's the key for any business, especially in our fields, that it's education, just because there's so much choice out there. And it's still, we did a podcast series with Athletic Greens at the start of, towards the start of the year. And they said, look, you could have people that will have literally a supplement drawer, and it's full of the stuff that half of them don't even need to use. It's just because they don't really know what they're doing. There's just so much choice. So you leading with education for your products is just, oh, I feel, the right thing to do and the best thing to do as well.
There's some nervousness around. Like, I like AG1 as a brand. It's great. Greens product, absolutely lovely. We've got one of our, you know, we've got thoughts of what we'll be doing as a business. But there's the B vitamins that's being used by the industry to supply us as brands now is being pulled apart of like the quality of where it won. We how much of what we're putting in is really bioavailable. By what I mean by that is like, it's great that everything's got it on a list, on a panel, but how much of that is in a form that our guts can digest?
Yeah.
We certainly find out, and all that's very, very personable. So I acknowledge it. It's something I find is a huge passion point of mine. It always has been. It will continue to run through the DNA of the business for as long as I'm involved with it. So, I mean, I just find it fascinating as well. Some of it's so logical when you start to hear it and read it with someone and thrash out. Well, actually makes sense. Like, misguided by a lot of big businesses or a lot of big organizations for their own intentions.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's over the marketing side of it, which we won't go into, of marketing stuff as the next best thing, and actually it's not that great for you. But then also on the other side, the extreme side, it's like people aren't going to read research papers on it. They
I
haven't got
don't
the
need
time to do it, and they're not
no.
interested. So there needs to be companies where they kind of break it down and simplify it, because you're right, once you read it and if you understand it, kind of, oh, it makes sense, and actually it's quite simple in theory. But it's actually getting that message out to people, right? That's where the difficulty and the challenge is.
And we hope we can do that. I mean, it's cool as well. I'm excited. There's a lot of cool brands you're working with a few already that are all quite progressive doing this, even some of my competitors. So, for me, more than I'm talking about, but for the sake of
Yeah.
my, we won't give them the nod. But I'm really enthused by it. Competition's healthy, we call it.
Yeah.
Drives choice for the consumer, so anyone that's listening, but it also keeps us all on our toes. So, we all have to, through the nature of so many more progressive startups, all come into market with. The large corporates are going to have very little room not to either step up. But then again, it's very expensive to make some of this stuff versus what our or my major competitors are doing when you look at the panels. But I'd rather do the right thing and worry about making money as a byproduct. But we've keep a very lean business with a view that we can deliver quality products. As long as we can all make a living and continue to do what we do, we love, which is this, then we're all happy.
Brilliant, Dave. Brilliant. Thanks very much for your time. It's been a very interesting conversation, a lot of really thought points for people to take away. In terms of people finding out more information about you, about Lifelines, about any research on hydration, like where can you mentioned your website and we'll put it on the show notes, but where can people find out more information? Where can they see? Have you got any events coming up? What's your plans?
So we've got a hydration station tour, which so if you follow our socials, that's on the usual Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Our hydration station tours continue. We'll be publishing the dates on those. Those are linked to things. We've got a big partnership with the fire service. So the firefighters or the fire service doing the British Firefighter Challenge, which is done in cities. I think we've got Manchester, down in Cardiff, we'll be there. For those of your fans, the consumers of TRX. We're talking about being and joining you at some more summits.
Yeah.
A couple of other things that are coming up as our own events. So TBC on those, but we'll be doing pop-ups. We were trying to get it done this summer, but we had a problem with production. But we'll be looking to pop up in and around places because the idea for us is it's not all sport related. So we want to be popping up in high streets. Seaside towns, you'll probably see us or feature next year. We've got quite an exciting idea to bring some fun to the beach and using you guys. We've got some functional kit to be using, mate. Failing that, LinkedIn for anyone that's running a business, a gym or institution wants to talk about, be found on LinkedIn. But no, thank you for having me on, mate.
I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot for your time. I'm sure the listeners will find this very interesting. And I know that quite a few people from the summit is already trying your products and looking to work with you. I'm sure this will be very interesting for everyone. So again, thanks very much for your time, Dave. And hopefully we can get you on in the future to talk more about hydration and give people some further knowledge in this important area.
Love to, mate. Cheers for having me, buddy.
And that wraps up another enlightening episode of the TRX Procast. A huge thank you to our incredible guest, Dave Hamlett, for sharing invaluable insights into the world of functional hydration, clean energy, and the passion driving lifeline sports nutrition. Dave, your dedication to quality and health is truly inspiring. For our listeners looking to elevate the performance and wellness, be sure to check out Lifelines for top-tier supplements that align with your fitness journey. And remember, your health and fitness journey is a marathon, not a sprint. Make sure to take those small steps, stay hydrated, fuel your passion, and watch those big changes unfold. And be sure to keep using TRX training. Don't forget to subscribe to the TRX Procast for more engaging discussions on functional fitness, nutrition, and overall well-being. I've been your host, Nathan DiRosario, and until next time, keep pushing your limits, stay hydrated, live your best, most active life. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode.